How's everybody doing today? Yeah, it wasn't a rhetorical question. It was a real question. You know, for me, it's one of those weeks where I'm particularly kind of feeling the effects of the fall for some reason. It's just one of those weeks where just the stuff of life is just sticking to me. Maybe you have those weeks sometimes too. I'm having one of those particular weeks this week. So if it looks like tonight that I don't kind of quite have it together, well, I just don't quite have it together tonight. So your grace would be very appreciated. Last week, we kind of introduced the topic in talking about what is the fundamental reason why we need to grow. And we really talked about this idea of an F5 tornado. We talked about that a little bit in our small groups. That the fundamental cause of all the brokenness that we experience in life, you can walk it all the way back. There's a straight line from the here and now, from today, to the fall of mankind in Genesis 3. We talked about this idea in the very beginning in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, when God created the world and created man and woman and placed them in the garden. He had a purpose for them, and their purpose was to reflect his glory to a watching world. But when the fall happened, that glory that we were reflecting became a little effaced, a little defaced. It was marred. We still bear the image of God, but we just don't shine it out quite as brightly as we once did. The original plan was that all of the universe, all of the created order would fit together and work together in this perfect harmony, in this perfect peace that the Hebrew word for is shalom. And because of the fall, peace has been disrupted. Peace has been lost. And so whatever your day was like, at whatever point today, you had like a little speed bump and something was just not quite working the way that you wanted it to. Maybe you had a bodily pain or a series of pains. Maybe you were frustrated in your work. Maybe you couldn't get your kids to do what you wanted them to do. You can walk a straight line from that reality back to Genesis 3 and the fall. And so one of the things that we talked about last week was we must face that reality that the problem that we have is a sin problem. I don't share that with you to shame you. I don't say that to you to condemn you. I just share that in love, that unless we're super clear on what the problem is, then we're going to apply the wrong solution. And in a lot of places, and dare I say, in a lot of churches, you can hear different theories for how someone grows, how someone changes. In a lot of places, in a lot of churches and elsewhere, you'll have this kind of moralistic view of change. I'm going to tell you what's expected of you. Your job is to do what you're told, right? And so you find people kind of acting as a parent toward you. Or maybe as that real tough coach you may have had in high school or in junior high school. Just get it together and do what's expected of you. And the role that you have, effort. Try hard, right? And how are you assessed on your effort? Quality of performance, right? You either make the grade or you don't make the grade. So that's one view of change. The other view of change could be a therapeutic view. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not talking down about a therapist. My wife's a therapist. There's a legitimate role for therapeutic counsel to provide to somebody who's in the midst of some sort of struggle. But the whole idea of a kind of a therapeutic approach to change is we're going to give you insight into you. And the more that you learn about you, the better you're going to be able to fix you, right? And so the template for change and kind of a therapeutic approach is one of looking at yourself, looking at your wounds, looking at your story, and kind of getting stuff sorted out and fixed. Okay? Another way to look at change. I think the only way one can really look at change in an honest way, if you believe that the fundamental cause of brokenness in this world is sin, then the template for change is really the gospel. See, the gospel is the only way that we have to solve what is our fundamental problem, which is sin. If we can't really look at sin as being the problem, then we're not going to change. We're going to stay stuck. If we call it a problem, like a struggle, a disease, condition, whatever, then we're not going to apply gospel solutions to it. We're going to use a man-centered label, and so we'll naturally bring man-centered solutions. The real key is, how can I look at this from my gospel perspective? The gospel says this. Scripture says this. Our most fundamental problem that we face because of the fall is a heart issue. Our spiritual struggle is one of having a bad heart. Our hearts are not inclined the way they were in the garden. How we feel, what we think, all the things that we do all spring from a bad heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Who can understand it? Because of the fall, because of the total corruption that we experience because of sin, our hearts lead us astray. Now, when I say total corruption or total depravity, what I'm talking about there is not saying that you always do the maximum amount of bad things all the time. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is everything that we do is always somehow tainted with our sin. It's always a problem that's at work there. And so the question for us is, how do we get a new heart? How do we look at things a little bit differently? The gospel does this for us. There's going to be some scripture up on the screen from 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 17 through 21. The Apostle Paul says this. This is a great summary of the gospel. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, this next verse is a perfect summary of the gospel. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. So in him, we have become the righteousness of God. The things that we want to pay attention to in this is that very first statement is God saying, working through the Apostle Paul, for our sake, God takes the initiative for our sake. We don't initiate and God responds. God moves toward us in love. If we had to initiate, if we had to do something to catalyze the response by God, then you getting better, you changing at some fundamental level depends on you. That's not grace. That's work. And so to accept and embrace the beauty of those three words, for our sake. He, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, a perfect man who's also God, made him our sin, literally made him our sin, transferred to him every bad thing you ever done, you've doing right now, or you ever will be doing, transferred from you to Jesus Christ. And that transference of our sin, that kind of moment where we just get shed of it, is a reconciling moment between us and God, because we're not looked at by God as having this sin now. He declares us sinless, even though we actually have sin, but he legally says, I don't see it because I see the perfect righteousness of my Son. We stand reconciled. But it's just kind of half the equation. The other half of the equation is so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, meaning we actually get reckoned righteous. God looks at you. I don't care what silly, sinful thing you did today or I did today. Whatever that thing is, that you did that you keep on doing, if, and this is an important qualifier, if you have faith in the complete and perfect work of Jesus Christ, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ. You stand in the shoes of Jesus Christ, and Jesus stands in your shoes. He is condemned and you are saved. Now, you may have been in church your entire life and you're hearing this and you're thinking, this is just so elementary. Get me to the meat of this stuff. I learned this in third grade in Sunday school. What I'm telling you is, you're not living this reality. And whatever your struggle is, that struggle is rooted in disbelief of that beautiful truth. Whatever struggle I've got is the same deal. And so the fight of the faith that we're going to talk about and renew, we're going to come back to again and again and again, is you say you believe it, but we're here to tell you your sin says you don't believe it. Believe it. These things that we go and we chase after, these things that we want to find significance in and satisfaction in and comfort in, because of this beautiful gospel truth, you already have everything. Everything. Ephesians 1 tells us this. There's this list, this beautiful list of all this that we're granted through the gospel. A staggering list of beautiful blessings that we have because we're in Christ. Because we're in Christ, we are princes and we are princesses of the heavenly realms. And so if you already have everything, why go to that website? Why engage in that relationship? Why consume that substance? None of that compares to the beauty of what you've been given in Christ. But again, I'm going to challenge you. We're going to talk about this again and again here in Renew. You're going to say, potentially, I've heard this before and I agree with it at an intellectual level. This is not faith. This is not faith. That's believing information, right? Faith is banking on the truth of that information. It's one thing to know theoretically that a rope is sufficiently strong for you to tie it to the side of a building and rappel off the side of that building. To look at that and say, that could hold my weight. That's an intellectual exercise. It is faith to go to the roof of the building and tie that rope around your waist and actually jump off the side of it. That's really believing it's going to hold you. And this is the challenge for us. This is the challenge for us. Is that for so long we've talked about this stuff, but we've never actually relied on it. And until we believe it's true, until we're banking on it, the pathway to getting grace is faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 tells us this. You're saved by grace through faith. And that salvation that you get is not only the justifying salvation of being reconciled to God, it's also salvation you get through your sanctification too, meaning being transformed. And so if you have faith in the gospel, if you have faith in all that you've been given in Christ, then you will be given grace. So what's promised becomes true. This is how we grow. And frankly, every single other week, we're just going to be talking through a little bit different angle to the same message. What we're going to be talking about is, where's your faith? Are you being honest with yourself about what you're believing today? Do you think that the gospel is true? Do you actually have an affection for Christ, for what he's done for you? Do you believe all the promises that are given to you through the gospel? Do you really bank on that? And can you fill your mind with those wonderful truths? And if you can, and if you do, as the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3, thinking on things that are above, not on things that are below, how you think about things affects how you worship. And what we think about, what we orient our mind around, that actually affects what we do. I spent my season kind of being crazy. Maybe some of you have too, where I've done all sorts of silly, stupid things. I guarantee you, when I was in that season, I was a student of that silly, stupid thing that I was doing. I oriented my mind around it. I worshiped it. Several things, frankly. Well, you know what? The beautiful truth is this. You have experience in worship. You already know how to worship. You're just worshiping the wrong dang thing. Worship someone who's worshipful. Fill your mind with that truth. And that's how you'll change. That's how it works. That's how we roll here. It's all about the gospel. If this feels theoretical to you, I want to encourage you, as you go through your discussion questions tonight, be honest about that. Ask some questions. I don't understand how this relates to me changing. Speak up. Because one of the ways, one of the schemes of the enemy is he will tell you this stuff is not practical. He will tell you you need to go get some information. Read yet another book about how it is that you can grow. I dare say the fact that you've chosen to come to a church on a Tuesday night tells me that you're super motivated. Tells me you've got an interest in growing. And if we can just kind of assume that's true, I bet you you've already read a few books. A good number of you have read a few books. You probably know an awful lot about whatever it is you're struggling with. Again, I'm here to tell you, your problem is not information. A little bit of information is a good thing. I'm not down on information. The question is, where's your heart? What's your heart inclined toward? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let me pray for you and we'll go to our small groups. Father, thank you for these folks who are here tonight. I pray that as we go to our small group time, that we can be honest. The pressure even of being in a church and talking about the gospel, we so want to play a role. Could you just give us the grace of being rigorously honest tonight? And even if there are some folks here tonight who say, you know what, I've heard about this gospel, and maybe at one point I would say that I believed it, but I don't believe it today, would you, for their sake, take the initiative for them tonight and warm their hearts to you? We can't begin this process. You begin this process. You begin it, you sustain us in it, and you finish it. And so I pray for us tonight as we go to our groups that we will know you're the one who's leading us tonight. So we just give this time to you. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.